பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்சிதே பூர்ணஸ் பூர்ணமாதாய் பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம், தட் இஸ் த ஹோல், திஸ் இஸ் த ஹோல். From wholeness emerges wholeness. Wholeness coming from wholeness, wholeness still remains.
You must have some questions for tonight, since you yes.
yeah. I've been accepting this being. I mean, to be or not to be is not the question to me, because it's obvious, this being, resting in the being. But to do or not to do, that's the question for me. I mean, I don't know what to do. So can you say something about? I mean, I meditate, and then or I do yoga. And then I write down, because I get like an inner voice saying what I should do. And usually when I'm doing things, I never think about it. I'm just doing, playing in the doing, or automatically attending to what comes during the day. But when I reflect on it, to do or not to do, or to go here or go there, or...
Devadas, who is experiencing being?
Pardon?
Who is experiencing being? Close your eyes. Now you sit and you meditate and you come into some beautiful spaces of beingness, but you are still there experiencing being. They're still you. Otherwise you wouldn't ask me. Is it right? Can you understand? Are we agreeing that that Devadas is experiencing being, a great being?
I am being.
Yeah, but you are not erased. You are not erased. Otherwise you wouldn't ask me the question. If you were being,
is my head asking the question? I've been thinking about, I've been asking the same question to all the gurus I met now. You know. Shanti Mai too. And things like that, yeah.
Who is experiencing this being? Then you had to leave the being and go for this who. Who's experiencing the being?
I have no idea.
No. Go there. Who is experiencing being?
There's no one experiencing the being, but when doing comes in, I have to invent some being.
There is duality there, otherwise you wouldn't ask the question. Because if you really have erased the me, if you really see that there is no me, there is not a me that see there is no me, there is no me, then there is only being reflecting itself. And then you're free.
Yeah, I can accept that, and I can be that. But when I, from that is to me inactive. Just stillness. So, when I get on the horse and become Don Quixote, I have to be, and I don't know this way or this way. Then I have to get into duality and.
But that means that your experience of being is with effort, because you lose it when you come out in life again. That's still with an effort. You have to do it. It's something you do. It's not finished. Listen.
It's only when I think about doing something I feel the problem. But when I do things, I disappear in the doing. So then I feel stillness.
There is, when you ask when if you inquire deeper to this question, who is experiencing being? There is no who. You're not going to find anybody, and that finding nobody, that realization, will give you the awakening where you will see that there's just being reflecting itself in this moment. There is a famous saying of Buddha. When seeing, there's only the seen. When hearing, there's only the heard. When feeling, there's only the felt. There is nobody seeing anything. There is nobody feeling anything. There is the source reflecting itself in being in one moment when there's meditation. The next moment you open your eyes, then the source reflecting itself in something else. All this is totally free of any The body is just doing its things by itself. The thoughts are just moving by themselves. There's nobody thinking it. There's nobody living the body. That is the realization. There is no me. There is just an experience and the awareness of the experience, and these two cannot be separated. That is an effortless joy when you are awakened. There's an experience and the awareness of the experience, and these two cannot be separated. But it's totally impersonal. It's totally impersonal. There is still, when you talk, there's still duality, there's still a me.
Yeah, I know that they say that there is no doer, like Ram.
I am not the doer.
Yeah, I'm not the doer. It's but I feel split between inventing doing and the being done.
Do you experience being done?
Yeah. That's most of the time. And that's really funny, but...
How does that feel?
Oh, it's just like playing. I'm totally engaged, absorbed in whatever.
Yeah.
I'm doing. But then when I step back I have to do... Then I feel like this to do or not to do is the question for me.
But this stepping back, if you have seen it, that you are not the doer, is also done by the non-doer. There is no me. Then the sense of stepping back is the same reflection, the non-doing. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like you separate something, you can say, oh, this is non-doing, and then suddenly that becomes doing.
Mm-hmm.
You must see everything is non-doing. Even the thinking I'm doing is a non-doing. Even when I feel and think I'm doing, that is also a non-doing. Because the I sense doesn't disappear, because then you cannot function. It will still be there, but it will be felt as it is dethroned. It's another reality that lives it. It is earth-shaking to see that I'm not the doer, really, existentially. It is earth-shaking. It changes the whole... from that moment on, everything that goes on is not my doing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a leaf, you know, blowing here and there. I don't mind either.
But I was at that place where I feel you are, where I was into these profound states of being where I didn't want to go out again, but I still felt that I was there as a separate entity. I still felt that separation. From there on, I started to surrender. I started to talk to this higher reality inside myself. The guru, God, whatever you want to call it, Osho, whatever name it has for you. I give it all over to you. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to come to this melting with you. I don't know how to do that. I only want to melt with you. I only want to become one with you, but I don't know how to do that. So from this moment, I give it over to you. I surrender it to you. And from this moment on, I will see everything as your grace. You surrender that rest of any I. There are kind of four steps in it. The first step is, I just want to become one with the truth, with you. Nothing else is matter for me. Nothing else is important. I want to become one with you. The next step is, I don't know how to do that. I have no idea. The third step is, I give it all over to you. I give it all to you, over to you. The fourth step is that from this moment on, I will see everything as your grace. That is the deep surrender. Yeah. So you get finished with any rest of any sense of me. You do that affirmation before you go to bed, wherever. Keep on remembering it. Let it go deeper and deeper. Let this surrender come deeper and deeper so it really touches you. So you really comes into tears. It really, the deep longing. In this awakening, there is no I. Everything is just happening by itself perfectly. There's no one moving this body. There's no one thinking these thoughts. There's no one having these feelings. It just goes on by itself, and that is the ultimate freedom. That is the lila. We have invented this me and created a separation, and that is all the psychological pain we are sitting in. There is another beautiful Buddhist sutra that says, there is enlightenment, but nobody searches for it. There is enlightenment, but nobody searches for it. There is a path, but nobody walks it. It's the same thing. That is the experience of being known. To be known. Like she talked about. I don't know if you can use what I'm saying, but my story was very much like that. That after I have been doing therapy and meditation for years, I sat in long meditation retreats because I love to meditate. But I never got rid of the one who's meditating upon something. There was always two. There was actually three. The one doing a process of meditation on something. Then I met Papaji and Ramana. And then I started working with self-inquiry, seeing that the only problem is this me. Osho also talked about that, but I never really got it before Papaji was hammering on it. I was maybe not ready to hear it before. I worked a lot with self-inquiry, like I said to you first. So who's experiencing this beautiful being? To get rid of any separation. I worked with that for 2 years. And then I started realizing that the only problem is me. That is the real problem. It got deeper and deeper, and that this me knows what to do and not to do. So this process of surrender that I told you now came out of this understanding that the only problem is me, and the big longing for be one with the divine. The big, big scream for that. A screaming for that. Life was meaningless without it. And then this kind of process of surrender came, like I showed you now. Well, you can do it in your way, but it is eventually to surrender to something higher. I heard a CD yesterday with Kalki Bhagwan, and he called it induction. This phase of induction. Induction. He was really true. You can also call it that. That you kind of emptying out. But then you have to letting a bigger entity take over. You have to let the divine take over. He called it induction. I call it surrender. You let the divine take over. You admit that you don't know anything about anything. In that deep surrender, in this induction, it happens. And it, you know, you are old traveler in India, you know that in old time when we came to the Guru, what we did in the old traditional way with the Guru is, we say, I surrender to you. And from this moment I will see everything as your grace. That's the surrender. Because the Guru is the true self. The Guru is the manifestation of the true self. So when you come and see that in a realized person, you surrender. Not to the person, but to the true self. I surrender to you. And from this moment I see everything in my life as your grace. Then the battle is over. Because whatever is right now is exactly what you need if you have surrender. It's the grace of God. Then the I is erased. And this I, whatever shape and form it has, it's the problem. Somebody in a satsang asked me, what Nukuma, when I become enlightened, how will I take care of my work and my children and I'm providing for them? And I said, just like you do now, there's no difference. You just believe you're doing it, but you are not doing it. You believe you're doing it. That's the only difference. Right now you're taken care of perfectly. But you believe that you're doing it yourself. That's the only difference. And it will not be different after your awakening. Only that you will know it was never you. It was happening by itself all the time. By divine grace. Because there's nothing but that. There's nothing but God.
But what a relief. I don't do it. Someone else does it. It sounds like a relief.
It's incredible relief.
Yeah.
Unbelievable relief. All your psychological problem is washed away in one instant. If you surrender totally, it's over. Right now. It's over. It's because you don't surrender totally, say yes, but. This surrender was a very slow process for me. I worked on that surrender for a long, long time, and it just went deeper and deeper into me, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and one day it just exploded by itself. I was not meditating or doing anything when it happened. I was just relaxing. And I cannot even say if it happens because of that. But it's quite obvious. Does it make sense, Devadas, what I'm talking about?
Yes. As I know it.
Yeah, of course. Did we have a song with this body? Should we try to listen to that? I'm going to play a chant now, I don't remember what it is. But,
I have a question.
Wait a while, you can ask it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to take a little listen to a chant. In India, that's what I'm trying to explain, that the manifest and the unmanifest cannot be separated, that they are one. That what you see and experience with your senses is God visible. And the pure awareness that reflects what your senses are experiencing is God invisible. That's all there is. That oneness the Hindu have expressed in the dance of Krishna Radhe, that they cannot be separated. Radhe cannot exist 1 second without his Krishna. And Krishna is all the time looking for Radhe. Radhe is expressing the manifest part of the divine, and Krishna is expressing the non-manifest. These two can never be separated. And that's why you always hear the chants, Krishna, Radhe, and you see them dancing totally one. And you see Radhe is totally in pain when she's not in touch with Krishna, and Krishna is looking for Radhe always. That is an exoteric way of trying to explain it that the Hindus have used. But it has a deep, deep meaning. It's actually the manifest and the non-manifest can never be separated. God is immanent. The divine is immanent, he's the innermost dance in existence. It is his arms, his eyes, his legs that we see as trees, as the water, as our bodies. Yeah. It's a very childlike way to try to get us to contemplate something so deep, so immensely deep. That's why we sing all Krishna Radhe. But it's not a love relationship in an ordinary sense. It is, it's the ultimate love. It's the love of the how the formless loves the forms. And they cannot be separated. Never, ever. And that's what you realize. That is what we call the oneness. Let's chant it.